In today's episode, guys, we're going to explore the idea that too much comfort might be the thing that's holding you back. We're going to discuss how just a teensy-weensy little bit of discomfort might just be the thing you need to improve your focus and improve your drive. And that's going to help you to achieve a whole lot more in your life. And by the end of this episode, you're going to see why being able to step outside of your comfort zone might just be the thing you need to achieve those big improvements in your life. Let's hop into it. What is going on, guys? You're listening to Motivate, Grind, Succeed, the podcast, a show that systemizes success for you in the four foundational cornerstones of faith, fellowship, fitness, and finance through high performance habits. My name is Rashawn, and I'm the host of the show, and I've been in the self-development space for over half a decade, being the guinea pig, testing all these things that I'm telling you so you don't have to. If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe to the show for weekly uploads. If you love what you hear, be sure to sign up for our email list, and if you hate what you hear, share it with a friend who I know and you know will appreciate what's being said today. With that, let's hop into this week's episode. All right, so Tempur-Pedic mattresses, cooling pillows, high thread count sheets, heated, cooled, and massaging car seats, merino wool clothing, memory foam inserts. Nothing is wrong at all with the comforts that we have in today's life. There's nothing wrong with it. I ain't bashing it. My seats in my car, for example, are heated. I love my heated seats. They're great. They're fantastic. It gets cold in Chicago. I love my heated seats. Just as much as you probably enjoy your heated seats and your high thread counts and your fancy soft hoodies and whatnot, these things were given to us to fully enjoy. So there's no problem with enjoying it. I'm all for enjoying the comforts in life. But is comfort all that it's cracked up to be? What if I told you that this very comfort that you're enjoying, indulging in, it could be what's holding you back from your true potential? So let me backtrack a little bit. Let's explore what seems to be counterintuitive idea here, and that comfort might actually be your enemy. It's comfortable to stay in places that we find familiar, job, familiar place that we live, all these kind of things, right? Wherever we are, it's very comfortable. The car that we have is comfortable. The routine that we have is comfortable. The TV shows that we watch are comfortable. Just the way that we put on our clothes even. Have you ever noticed you put on your clothes probably the same way every single time? Because it's comfortable. You do the same thing over and over again. And again, nothing's wrong with that. It gives our brain ability to have space to work with working memory for things that actually are important. Other things just go on autopilot. So there's no problem with that. However, what I want to talk about today is the fact that if you just embrace a tiny little bit of discomfort, you'll be able to unlock your full potential. Not overnight, but you will be able to do so. So in today's society, let's just keep it a milli vanilli, okay? In today's society, there's this huge notion, not the app, this huge notion in life that we need to be comfortable. Like right now, I'm wearing this, if you're watching me on YouTube right now, I'm wearing this very soft, bright yellow hoodie, right? It's very soft, it's very comfortable, it's very warm too, but it's very nice and it's very comfortable. We should be comfortable at all costs, right? There's no need to go out of the ordinary. No need to go too crazy. Don't do anything too insane. Just stay nice and comfortable, relaxed and chill. Don't go into hardship. Don't do all that. That's unnecessary. There's no need to do that. Think about it. Social media tells you, you need to live a nice, comfortable life. Nothing wrong with just kicking back and scrolling endlessly on Instagram reels or YouTube shorts or going on that YouTube binge till 3 a.m. watching videos that you have no idea what they're going to be about. Next thing you went from looking at videos about how to clean your toilet to now learning that giraffes are like 2 million years old. Trust me, we've all been there. I've been there. I was there the other day. Okay. We all are there. However, what I want to shed light on is the fact that us living this comfortable life, while in and of itself is not necessarily a bad thing, it also is not necessarily a good thing either. Now, what do I mean by that? When we live overly comfortably, what we end up doing is shielding ourselves from the challenges of life. Anything that would cause a disruption to us and cause a disruption to how we go ahead and live our lives day by day, anything that happens outside of the norm is now going to seem like an inconvenience. It's going to seem like some sort of hardship. This is not comfortable. And that's actually normal. Because if you go back to what I like to call the caveman ooga booga brain days, where we had the days of, ooh, rock and stick. rock, stick, rope, me pound, hammer. Okay, so those kind of days. We go back to those kind of days. Anything that was outside of the norm, outside of the group, outside of the collective, it could potentially mean danger and death. So naturally, because we haven't gotten to the stage where we understand that's not the case anymore, our brain, as I've said in past episodes, is wired to protect us and to help us to survive, not to thrive. So us living in our comfort zone is like our default power saver mode, which our brain wants to keep us in at all given times the best that it possibly can. Let's say you're just like, I like my comfortable life. I'm not trying to change anything. Let me explain to you why stepping out of your comfort zone is crucial. And we're going to talk about two main points here. The first one is called optimal anxiety. Now, it's what is optimal anxiety? When I came across the term optimal anxiety the first time, I had no idea what it meant, to be totally honest with you. So I went to Google at ChatGPT and Perplexity, and I was like, yo, explain optimal anxiety to me. So here's pretty much what it says about optimal anxiety. This is not about overwhelming fear or overwhelming stress. That's not what this is about. I know you hear anxiety, and the instant you hear anxiety, you think, oh my gosh, I'm stressed. I'm just, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. No, we're not talking about that kind of stress at all. We're talking about the sweet spot where you have enough anxiety, which sounds weird, but hang with me for a second. You have enough anxiety, which gives you enough of a lever to say, okay, I need to do something, but not past the point where it starts to turn into now you want to do nothing. But let's put it into a little bit more realism. You have a project at work that needs to get done. Optimal anxiety is when you have a week to get this project done and you have to depend on other people to get their parts done too. So there's enough push for you to get your part of the project done and follow up with other people, but not enough push to make you just feel like this is literally impossible. Throw your hands up and it's done. What about the students out there? At the time of me recording this episode, it's pretty much finals week for students. It's not going to come out during finals week. It's going to come out after. To all the students that just finished their years at school, congratulations, you guys did awesome. But for those of y'all who just took finals, and also sorry for the PTSD of all the studying, okay? But with this, there's enough optimal anxiety during finals week to push you to say, I need to study. I need to get this done. I need to cram this exam. I need to pull two all-nighters in a row because I didn't study for the past 15 and a half weeks for anything. And now I have one night to go through 15 weeks of information. Trust me, we've all been there. That's the optimal anxiety. Doesn't feel necessarily impossible, but you know you're going to have to cram some stuff in that night. Okay? You know what I'm talking about. So that's optimal anxiety. That's what it says. And research in this field does actually show that moderate levels of anxiety can push you towards peak performance, focus, and drive. This is why if you're in the self-development space, sometimes you'll hear them say you need to facilitate and you need to create a back against the wall scenario where you have no choice but to move forward with what's in front of you. That's why they say it, because when you give yourself that level of I need to get this done-ness, that is when you're going to take the action. That's when you're going to push. That's when you're going to go ahead and move forward. Okay? So let's talk about the second one, why stepping out of your comfort zone is crucial. Because when you're in the comfort zone, again, as we said before, you're very comfortable. Everything's nice. Everything's easy. You're not really concerned about anything, which is fine in and of itself. But you'll realize the longer you stay in your comfort zone, the more time is just ticking away, ticking away, ticking away, ticking away, ticking away. Next thing you know, one day went by, a week went by, a month went by, 2 months went by, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, 24, 36, 48, a decade went by. And you're wondering, how in the world did I get here? Because you detracted by your path one day at a time. And it wasn't even that much. It was 1 degree. What do I mean by 1 degree? Let's go back to January 1. I'm going to lose those 15 pounds. I guarantee you I'm going to lose those 15 pounds this year. I am determined to do it. January 1, you started. By February 1, you quit. That's just that 1 degree. All that needed to happen was nothing crazy. It just needed to be, oh, I need to run to the store real fast. I can skip the gym today, but I'll pick it up again tomorrow. That's your 1 degree. It didn't seem so harmless, right? It was just the 1 degree. You just need to go to the store, right? That was it. You need to go to the store and then you get home. And then what happens at home? You have the comfortable leather couch. You have probably heated, charging your phone, watching Netflix, and how you're comfortable. But you said you were going to go to the gym. Oh, I'll go tomorrow. Are you sure? What happened then? because now we're a few months later, depending on when you're listening to this episode, you're now probably a few months past your New Year's resolution. And how is that going for you? That's what happens when you take one degree off, which is why I always preach about consistency being so important. But anyway, back to the point at hand that I'm getting at here with the second point of why stepping out of your comfort zone might be crucial: flow state. And now I'm going to mispronounce this name. I practiced for like 10 minutes before recording this episode, but it's a Hungarian psychologist. So anybody who's from Hungary, I apologize so much. I'm about to mess up this name. But the psychologist's name is Mihai Csikszentmihalyi. I'm sorry, that sounds so bad. Make fun of me in the comments. Okay, make fun of me in the comments. I understand. Okay, but he popularized what's called the flow state. And flow is achieved when you're just engaged in an activity that everything else seems to disappear. You ever had that moment when you're just so focused on the work that you have to do that literally the whole sense of time just diminishes from everything that you're doing? That's the flow state. I've talked about this in past episodes where it takes about 20 some odd minutes for you to get into flow state once you start working. And so he's the person who actually popularized this. And so when you actually get into that flow state, it's actually linked to higher levels of happiness, as higher levels of personal satisfaction. And you see this all the time. You see this with people like athletes who are really getting into the zone. They're going crazy. You see this with musicians, especially if you've ever seen a musician go just, oh my goodness, man, especially like jazz musicians or anybody who's doing solos or anything. And they're just in that zone. They're just in the zone. Like they can't even tell you what happened. They just knew they were just in it. And then that was that. Artists, when they're painting, they're sitting painting or drawing or sketching or anything, for sometimes it looks like hours. They're just in that flow state. All sense of time is gone to them because they're just enjoying what it is there. What does this have to do with the comfort zone? The comfort zone also has the flow state. When you're comfortable, relaxing in your chair, you're comfortable, you're sitting there, you're chilling in your chair like I am doing right now. You're just relaxing, having a good time, watching Netflix. Next thing you know, as I said in the beginning of the episode, you have YouTube going on. You have Netflix going on. You're watching your binges for 2, 3, 4 hours. You're watching Netflix for 2, 3, 4 hours. And again, if you're relaxing, cool. But also realize if you had stuff to do, you told yourself you were going to go to the gym, but now you spent 2, 3, 4 hours in front of Netflix and in front of YouTube chilling when you should have been doing something else. You see how this can now detract from your goal. Because you're watching Netflix when you should have been doing something else. He said, oh, but it was such a hard day. Everyone had a hard day. Everybody wants to relax. But the difference between the people who do and the people who don't is that the people who do have what I love to reference as the emotional why. You've heard me talk about this in past episodes before. If not, go back to past episodes and you'll know what I'm talking about. I always say you need to start with your why. It needs to be a strong emotion behind it because people move with the motion and justify that movement with logic. So if your why is not emotionally moving enough, that is why you're not consistent with what it is that you're doing. This is why we titled the episode, Comfort is Going to Kill Your Soul. Because if you don't master the art of being uncomfortable, you don't master the art of being in that state of discomfort every now and again, you will eventually comfort zone yourself to the grave. Period. You're not going to do anything that's going to be of serious substance. You're going to wonder where in the world the time went. I'm getting a little riled up because it's a very passionate topic of mine. You're going to wonder where the time went and wonder, how could I better use this time? But it's too late because the time is gone. It's the one resource that is so critically, burningly, urgently important to manage. And yet sometimes we do the worst job managing it. It's partially to do with the comfort zone. So let me give you a personal story of discomfort. When I was young, very young, like single digit young, I was voluntold to go and give public speeches in front of large church congregations. Now, mind you, public speaking is a fear that some people even fear more than death sometimes. So imagine what it's like for me being voluntold to go up to in front of a church congregation of sometimes hundreds of people. It's like maybe what, a 5, 6, 7 year old, and then to recite a speech from memory. Yeah, frightening. Talk about pinnacle of discomfort. True story. I'm telling you, true story. And the thing is, was I nervous? Obviously. Yes, I was. Sometimes I even chickened out when I was up there and I just couldn't do it because the fear got to me. But thankfully, I had parents that were like, no, you're going to do this. And so I was, as I said, voluntold and partially forced to continue to go up and to continue to speak, to continue to give these talks, to continue to give these speeches over and over and over again. And what is that? And I was 6, 7, 8 years old. I didn't understand what this was. But now that I'm much older, now I understand, oh, that is discomfort over and over and over again. And now I greatly enjoy talking. Look at this. We're over 140 episodes into a podcast where each and every single one of them, I'm talking in it constantly. I love giving public speeches now. Now I'm of the mindset, the bigger the crowd, the better. But the only way I got to that point is by me literally embracing discomfort. Now, it was, of course, from an external stimulus, but the concept here still applies. The more you become comfortable with discomfort, the easier it's going to be over time for you to build up this resistance to that discomfort, be more comfortable in it, and only in that discomfort can you grow. Let's bring it back one more time. Everybody who's listening to this, most likely you've been to school. Was school always fun? I guarantee you the answer is most likely no. You didn't always have fun in school. There were topics. I guarantee you more than half of you listening did not like mathematics at all. The second you saw that math had letters, you were checked out. It was discomfortable. Uncomfortable. That's not, discomfortable is not a word. It was uncomfortable. You were in discomfort when you were in that class. You probably didn't pass it the best that you wanted to compared to all your other classes, but you still went into it, didn't you? So school taught you that it is important to be uncomfortable. You experienced discomfort for at least 9 months in that class. It was not comfortable, but you still went. You still embraced it. So now, why is it now that we're out of school, now life must be any different? Because the only way that you were able to learn, even the fact that you learned that math is not for you, you wouldn't have known if you had never done it and you had never tried. Now, albeit, sure, the class was forced on you. But again, the concept here still remains. The fact of the matter is you took the class, you realized, oh, math's not for me, but I still have to do this anyway. And at least, at the very least, you understood enough to pass the class. I didn't say you'd become a mathematician, but at the very least, you understood enough to pass the class. So you still learned something. Even if you don't remember it, you still learned something. And even if you remember nothing from that math class, you still remember the fact that it was uncomfortable. But that still helped to build up your overall resilience. So now when you go to things like the workplace, and then you have a project that's coming due, the fact that you have resilience to work in the frame of that, I only have this much time and this much stress, and I don't like doing this, but I still have to do this, combine the fact that the consequence of you not completing it is going to be pretty extreme and you don't want to experience that. Combine that with the fact that you also have resilience from all the other life experiences that you've had in the past. You understand what discomfort is, but again, our brain doesn't want us to experience that discomfort. So we stay in the comfort zone. But there are so many lessons that can be garnered when we are in the zone of discomfort. So many lessons can be learned there. I think I've hammered this point home enough. So we're going to go ahead and end the episode here. And I'm just going to end it with this. You understand now that the comfort zone will inevitably kill your soul if you let it. And the only way to not let it do that is to embrace discomfort. How do we do that? Very simple. What is something you don't want to do? Whatever that one thing is that you don't want to do. I don't want to work out today. Guess what you're doing today? You better slap that bad boy on your calendar and you better get that workout done. I didn't want to work out today. I worked out right before having to record this episode. Do you think I wanted to do that? No. As someone who even has fitness as one of his foundational pillars, do you think I want to be working out every single day? No. And because I didn't want to do that, and because I want to become more of a person who embraces discomfort, I said, you know what? I'm going to challenge myself to a 30-day challenge. So I found a 30-day challenge on YouTube, and today I'm starting day one of it, of 30. And I will force myself to complete it, to force my brain to understand that this is discomfort. It's not going to kill me. It's going to make me stronger and more resilient for whatever comes up. So the message I want to leave with you is, if you find yourself comfortable and you find yourself ever comparing yourself to somebody else who's out there and you're wondering, how in the world are they there? they embraced discomfort. They built up the resilience by doing the things that they didn't want to do, which usually end up being the things that we kind of need to do the most. They did that on a consistent basis. This will not happen in one day, 1 week, probably not even 1 month. 1 month is enough to start building up the habit to do it, but it's going to take so much more time than that. But do you want to make that something that happens one day? Or do you want to make today day one? So I'll leave you with this. I implore of you, make today the day one that you decide, I'm going to do one thing every day that is uncomfortable. I'm going to embrace discomfort in one thing that I do every single day, and watch over the period of 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, give it 3 months, 90 days. Embrace discomfort, one uncomfortable thing for 90 days. And I guarantee you, come back in 90 days and tell me that you don't have better resilience. I guarantee you, you won't be able to come back. If you do this genuinely, I guarantee you will not be able to come back to me in 90 days and say that you are not now more mentally resilient than you were when you started. So that's the challenge I have for you. This week, one thing every single day, something super simple. It could be, I don't want to do 10 pushups. Now you're doing 10 pushups. My favorite thing to do is whatever I think about, man, I really don't want to do that right now. The first thing I do is say, okay, I don't want to do that. Now I got to go schedule it on my calendar for me to go get it done. And then when it's on the calendar, it goes and gets done. But it's up to you. Do you want to build that mental resilience? Do you like living in a life of comfort? If so, fine. Ignore everything that I said for the past 20 some minutes. Just ignore everything that I said. That's fine. That's cool. But for the three people in the back that really want that extra juice, that extra sauce out of life, build up that resilience. Embrace that discomfort. And I guarantee you're going to see your life change. Peace, guys. And guys, that's going to wrap up this week's episode of Motivate, Grind, Succeed, the podcast. Guys, again, if you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe to the show for weekly uploads. If you love what you heard, be sure to sign up for that email list. And if you hated what you heard, be sure to share it with somebody who will appreciate it. Also, if you guys want to get access to the show notes or any kind of resource or link or to anything that was referenced in this episode, be sure to check out that episode description below. You'll also find the contact information, any freebies, or any sort of thing from our little corner of the internet. Check out the episode description. It's going to be an absolute goldmine for you guys. Until next time, take care, and I will see you in the next episode.